the newly crowned all-time leading trainer, Dale Romans.
Well, Chef Edward Lee, I'm honored to be with Dan Issel.
I'm at the offices of Louisville Public Media with Stephen George.
Budding country music star, J.D. Shelburne.
Rocky Adkins is with us.
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show, Louisville's longest-running and most interesting podcast. Join Rick Redding, your host, as he talks with some of the city's most interesting individuals. The city's leaders in politics, business, sports, and the arts join Rick in lively one-on-one interviews, taking on the topics that are making news in the Ville. Right now, Rick's ready to get the show rolling in the Louisville.am studio. Here's Rick.
And here we are back with another episode of the Rusty Satellite Show. This is your host, Rick Redding, here for the 324th consecutive week. I'm glad to be with you. I always bring you the most interesting people in the Ville, and in this special Bourbon and Beyond episode, we have two people participating in the big festival this weekend. In the second part of the show, I'm going to have the Bourbon Babe. Carla Carlton has made a name for herself in the bourbon industry as a writer and has done a lot of things. She's got a book out. She's got a whole bunch of stuff going on. She's got a real job at Bellarmine University, but we are talking with her about the Bourbon and Beyond Festival this week. She is moderating a panel discussion over there on Friday. I believe it's Friday at 5 o'clock, and you can go over there and see Carla and talking with the with some of the leaders in the bourbon industry as part of this big festival, Bourbon and Beyond, that's going on. There's a lot of great music, a lot of other things that are happening. But speaking of the great music, my first guest, and we're going to get to him in just a minute, is Ben Solee, his second time on the Rusty Satellite Show. I was very happy to be able to hook up with Ben over at Quills in St. Matthews. And despite a train going by during the middle of our interview, I really found Ben to be a fascinating guy. He has got a lot going on, and he's doing a lot of good work for the city and for the world, I guess you could say. And he is performing on Saturday at noon at the Bourbon and Beyond Festival. As you remember, of course, last year, Ben was among those performers who didn't get to perform at last year's Bourbon Beyond because of all the rain. If you can remember, I had never seen so much rain. I went over there on Saturday where they had a sort of an abbreviated day of a festival because, you know, the mud down there at the park down there by the river, it was just impassable. It was a phenomenal weather event that took place that ended up canceling those shows. And Danny Wimmer Presents, you know, we had Doris Sims on here a few weeks ago. She said that they were determined to still have their shows in Louisville. And so they had the big thing last weekend, the first ever Hometown Rising show at the new venue. They call it Kentucky Highlands Festival, something like that. Boy, they had some success, I think. Everything I hear about that festival is about the crowd and how many people showed up and what a great venue it is. So I'm sure it'll be a lot of the same thing here with Bourbon Beyond, minus a few cowboy boots and hats, right? You won't wear those to Bourbon and Beyond. There's a lot of good food involved in the thing as well, so there's a lot to get to. I'm looking forward to it. First, I want to mention my sponsors. We're right here at the RE/MAX Properties East Studios in East Louisville on Timberwood Circle. That is where RE/MAX Properties East has been around. I've learned a lot about RE/MAX Properties East in the last few days. I'm writing a release, in the process of writing a press release about the change in leadership here, and a great guy named Joe Hayden is taking over as the principal broker, and we'll talk about that. And Joe will be here as a guest in the coming weeks, real soon, we hope. But anyway, the RE/MAX Properties East is. I'm glad they helped provide this studio for you. My other sponsors, all great people and very important. The folks at Passport Health Plan, been with me since the very beginning. Also, the Eye Care Institute. Right down there in Butchertown on Story Avenue, 502-589-1500. Give them a call if you have any vision issues. They're the best in town. I got my LASIK there. It was really great. And also Heiser Health. I've got some things to say about Heiser Health this week as I'm continuously on a path. I turned 59 a week or two ago, and the older you get, the harder it is to stay healthy. I'll just say that. We'll just leave it at that. All right, it's a very exciting week here at the Rusty Satellite Show. I'm anxious to get into it, and we're going to start. Now, you're going to hear a little clip from Ben Salee, some music, and you're going to hear, if you don't know about Ben and all the other things he does besides being a professional musician, you're going to really be interested in this interview, and I hope you enjoy it.
We're about to blow the cover off of Rick Redding's secret. Hi, everybody. Bob Sekola here. You know Rick is the force behind the city's longest running and most interesting podcast. And he knows what makes Louisville a great place to live. He's plugged into the city. As a journalist, he's covered stories in every part of the city, so he knows neighborhoods. Now the secret. He's part of the most successful team in the city, the Sekola team at RE/MAX Properties East. And he's putting his experience to work for buyers and sellers like you. The Sekola team sells more homes than anyone else in the city. And now, Rick is at your disposal. Call him anytime, day or night, at 502-439-6391. 502-439-6391.
When I'm gone now, bury me with my car. When I'm gone, bury me with my car. Cause if anywhere's wherever I end up, when I'm gone, I'm gonna need my ride, get around. So please, please, bury me with my car.
All right, today the Rusty Satellite Show is getting ready for Bourbon and Beyond. We're in St. Matthews today with Ben Salee.
Hey there.
Welcome back to the show.
Yeah, it's good to be back. It's been a little while.
It's amazing all the things you've done since 2015, starting with moving here permanently to Louisville.
Yep, it's like true. I moved back to Louisville having left in 2008 to kind of like get our feet under us as a new couple and a new family.
Right.
My wife and I had just gotten married, and turns out that being a touring musician with an infant is challenging.
I can only imagine.
We moved to apply the extended network of family.
Okay. So, well, that's good. Now they're getting older, right?
Yeah.
It gets easier. Was my experience.
Sure. Yeah. Easy. Yeah. Totally.
They never get in trouble or anything like that.
Of course.
Well, you're playing Saturday at Bourbon and Beyond. It's a big deal. I see you're on Saturday around noon.
Yep.
Tell me about that show.
Well, I'm going to be performing with some great local musicians, including Chris Rodehofer, locally known as Rody.
Okay.
He plays in pretty much all the bands and has done so, for the last decade or so. You've seen him play with, Will Oldham and Don Landis and all these amazing acts, and he's a great musician and the drummer percussionist that I work with a lot named Jordan Ellis. So it'll be a trio for that. I'm on the stage at the Bluegrass Situation stage, which of course is the place if you want to go find out what's happening and intrigue in the bluegrass/folk Americana scene. That's the place to find that out. And I'll be performing right after Cedric Burnside. He and I got together and played at a festival down south, and so we're probably going to do a little jamming together.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, it's going to be a great festival. I'm so excited to see it come together. Last year I was supposed to play, but I got rained out.
A little bit.
Mudded out. environmental emergency, hazmat out, however you want to look at it. But basically, they invited me to come back this year.
And have you gone and checked out the situation down there yet? Have you seen the news?
Not going to lie, when I'm home and not touring, I typically avoid the large crowd events.
Okay.
But I drove by it. It looks huge. It looks massive. It looks like a great, top quality national festival site.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about it. The production is so far already been spectacular.
Okay. Well, I want to get to some of the other stuff you're doing, but let's ask you a little bit more about your musical career. I know you
Happy to wait. Happy to wait for the train if you want.
It's just like our old studio. It was right by the train tracks.
Yeah, but, we can wait for that to pass if you'd like.
Well, there you go. That's good enough.
Once the engine itself goes by, it's not so bad.
Yeah, I think we're good. But your musical career, you're still touring. I see you play a lot locally. Is that going the way you want it to?
Yeah, I mean, I've intentionally moved away from doing most of my work as a touring musician to being more of a, you know, producer and composer. So I'm doing a lot of work right now for film and TV, you know, creating music scores for documentary films. I've got a couple TV series that I'm doing some music supervision and composing for. So that allows me to be a little bit more flexible creatively, because I've always, you know, bounced around creatively from being like delicate acoustic music to like electronic music, and sometimes that's been a little presented a little bit of whiplash to my fans. Yeah. And
I guess it was unusual. I admit that I was a little bit surprised at how much I was dancing at the Nulu Fest. I saw you and your band at. You guys were really had it going.
Yeah, I've been lucky to work with such amazing musicians, and of course the music that I grew up listening to was all, you know, rhythm and blues, groove based music, and that's what I've grown up with and loved. So even though I played cello, which of course is most closely associated with classical music,
sure,
the music that's in me that comes out is groove based music.
Yeah, and in fact, I know you do a lot of projects. The last time we talked was around your appearance at Actors Theater in a play. So. Yeah. You got a lot going on there, but you also have another career.
It seems like I've got all kinds of careers.
At least one.
Yeah.
But I know a little bit about Canopy, the company you work for. Tell me a little bit about what you're doing for them.
Yeah, so Canopy is a nonprofit. We're very much a startup, and our mission is to support Kentucky businesses to incorporate and grow their environmental and social impact. Okay. And we do that in a few different ways. The two distinguished ways right now that we've identified is through storytelling, basically helping spread good business ideas from around the state and into the state from around the country. We do that through podcasts and video production and live events. And then we also are developing a certification program called the Canopy Certified Program, which is meant to kind of guide companies through the process of incorporating a social or environmental mission and then kind of measuring their impact so that they can show and get recognized for doing it really well.
Yeah, they basically, as I understand it, you basically, there's a scorecard, you score points for doing good things as a company, and that seems to be catching on throughout the state.
Yeah, so that assessment piece, the scorecard, is definitely going to be, you know, one way that we track progress. But really, it's a bit more nuanced than that. We're really trying to provide a supportive program for companies where they are, you know, kind of choosing their own adventure to progress through the program. Because really, our main intention is to just help businesses around the state grow their impact. And because we have so many issues around the state that we just haven't been able to address. I mean, you know, as a musician, I've spent the last decade and a half trying to raise awareness about mountain removal and strip mining in Appalachia and livability and structure in cities. And, you know, I've really focused on environment and social issues. And sometimes I felt like my ability as a musician to affect change was limited, to say the least. You know, sometimes it was like shouting into an open field.
Were riding your bike to gigs, right?
So I did do a lot of music touring by bicycle. But one of the things that I discovered in that process is that anytime we connected with a business or some type of economic incentive, that change happened more rapidly and sometimes, you know, in a big way.
Sure.
And so without knowing it, I was moving towards this idea of a social enterprise. Which, of course, is part of this whole global good business movement, conscious capitalism, you know, call it what you want. And there are a lot of names for it. But we're really focused on helping Kentucky businesses address some of the issues that we have in this state. You know, you name it, whether it's economic opportunity, you know, health and longevity, you know, education levels, socioeconomic opportunity, poverty issues,
health, obesity, opioid epidemic. Like, all of these things are things that the government's struggling to address. Nonprofits are stretched to address. So our hope is to situate ourselves right in the middle and help for-profit businesses incorporate these issues into their business structure operationally so that they are doing good while they grow their business.
Yeah. And it seems like such a challenge. When I heard about what Canopy was doing, I said, it's really hard to get companies. I would think it would be really hard to get companies to do the right thing just without any financial incentive, just because it's the right thing to do. And I guess that's the challenge you face.
We have lots of fantastic, thankfully, we have lots of fantastic data that shows that when corporations incorporate a social environmental mission, it actually helps connect them with their audience because they're providing more value to your community. And what is a company but a place that provides value, whether it's your product or your service, right? Like,
yeah.
You're hopefully providing a value that people are willing to pay for. And if it adds value to your product by helping with sending kids to college or educating them after school or providing food access,
yeah.
If that connects you with your consumers so they, you know, are more loyal or they are willing to pay a little bit more for your product, then that's going to help your business.
There you go.
That's our strong argument, and our bigger argument is that Kentucky, because we're faced with so many challenges and because we place in the bottom 10 on so many of these national rankings around mm-hmm. health and environmental and economic opportunity, we are the place. If you have a company where you want to show your impact,
yeah.
We're the place to do it. Like, move to Kentucky because, like, there's no place where you're going to show return on impact better.
Yeah. Well, and you were telling me before we started here that a part of your the impetus for your environmental inactivity was the election, the last presidential election when Trump was elected. And, you know, Kentucky is like Trump state, and I think you were telling me you just felt like you had to do something more, right?
Well, so it's more nuanced than that. Of course, I've been involved in, you know, social and environmental advocacy for a long time. It's just ingrained in the music that I make and the activities that I did when I was out on the road.
Okay.
However, you know, going through the election and seeing Trump get elected and then seeing so many of the efforts that I had worked on get ripped up or pushed off the table made me realize how thinly I had applied my efforts around the country.
Sure.
And I kind of had a realization that if I wanted to see this stuff stick, if I wanted to have measurable impact that really lasted, then I needed to focus.
All right.
I needed to focus locally.
Yeah.
And so I intentionally made a pivot at that point. I said, I'm going to focus on my state and maybe even more particularly on Louisville. And so I started looking for opportunities to be able to provide for my family while being local, and found an opportunity at a marketing agency called Bissig Impact Group, where they hired me on as their lead storyteller. And there I spent about 9 months learning, you know, the craft from the inside of a marketing agency of how to really kind of tie in all of these pieces and parts to build campaigns. And then through that agency, I met Scott Collins, who's the founder of Canopy. And he was hiring on his first staff and kind of invited me to join the team. And I thought it was a great opportunity that aligned more with the work that I'd been doing and was focused on the state and showing measurable impact. So really the election caused me to reflect and say, what's my purpose as both a musician and a Kentuckian, as a father, and how can I reduce my impact on the planet and do good and try to provide for my family in a better way? And this is all in alignment with that. And so my hope is that 5 years from now, regardless of what happens in national politics, I can say, like, here are the things that I've done and they're measurable and they're not going anywhere.
There you go. There you go. Well, it's great to have you here. I'm glad you're here. Before we go, your music, for people who want to hear it, I guess I remember I saw you speak at a thing about the move to online. So I just get you on whatever service I've got, right? That's
yeah, totally. I mean, my music's available anywhere that you get your music. And
you know, a lot of people kind of pause when I tell them that I now work in a nonprofit and have a day job. They're, you know, they either think, well, the music thing wasn't going so well, or they think that I kind of gave up, or maybe even the one that grinds me most is like, oh, you had a kid and wanted to be home for them. Like, I had a kid 11 years ago. I've been touring since then. I'm still making a lot of music, maybe more music than I've ever made.
Yeah.
It just happens to be now ingrained into TV and film and all these things. But, you know, the music that I put out directly to my fans is available on all the platforms.
Okay.
And one of my favorite platforms, of course, is Bandcamp, because I feel like they do a great job of supporting their artists.
Well, I learned something I didn't know about that one. You're playing Bourbon and Beyond. You got some other dates around town. I seem to see you pop up at...
Well, I mean, the biggest thing that's happening, I'm really excited, and I think this is the first place that I get to talk about this. We haven't announced it yet, but I'm teamed up with the Kentucky Center to kind of reboot Lonesome Pine series.
Oh, wow.
And that's a show that you may or may not remember.
Listeners. It.
Yeah, it was a KET series that ran for nearly 20 years where artists, you know, came and performed. It was kind of like Kentucky's Austin City Limits.
Yeah.
And so we're rebooting that, but as a live audience radio show where we're going to invite, you know, local, regional, and national talent, especially from the South, to come perform on our stage, tell stories. Wow. Get involved with skits, you know, cook food, all the things, anything that
now,
has to do with
the
region.
Is that going to be where? At
Harristown?
That'll
be at Baumhard.
At Baumhard. Okay.
Baumhard Theater, which is within the Kentucky Center.
Right.
And we're taping the pilot series starting in November.
Wow.
And that will hopefully go out for a national broadcast. And I'm really, really excited about it. So November 13th is the first taping. Look out for those links online.
Okay, I will. That's good. Good to hear. I'm glad you broke it right here on the Rusty Satellite Show.
That's right. That's
right. Kaiser Health, your complete health source for preventative medicine and optimum health. Visit the experts of medical doctors and nurse practitioners so they can evaluate your overall health and your health as you age. Kaiser Health uses the primary preventative technique of nutrition with real food and effective exercise. If you qualify, you may need hormone replacement to optimize your health. Call the experts at Kaiser Health, 502-882-4252.
And there you go. Now you know a lot more about Ben Salee and what he's doing to make the world a better place. I could talk to him about every week. I think we would not run out of topics. So thanks to Ben for letting me share some chai with him at the Quills Coffee right there in St. Matthews. And so next up, stay tuned now. After I get done blabbing around here, we're going to hear from Carla Carlton, the Bourbon Babe, who is on one of the panels speaking about bourbon over there at the Bourbon and Beyond Festival, which takes place Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the over there. It's right by the airport. A lot of people think it's at the fairgrounds. It's not. It's across the street, across Phillips Lane. I don't know. I'm not going to make a comment about the parking situation. I think they handled it as well as they could. They got a lot of space, and but if you go, you got to do a lot of walking. Okay, so who are you looking forward to seeing on the music lineup? There's some great ones. Just in case you haven't got your app pulled up, the headliners Friday are the Foo Fighters and John Fogerty. You'll be hearing my favorite song from John Fogerty here in just a minute. Also, Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats, I've been hearing. That's like a new group for me, and I've been listening to them a little bit. It's pretty good. The highlight on Saturday, of course, is Robert Plant and the Sensational Space Shifters. He was scheduled to be here last year, and it didn't happen. I think he was going to play Sunday last year. Hall & Oates, for all of you guys about my age, is they're back. They're back together. Grace Potter, apparently without the Nocturnal, she's here. Samantha Fish, I would love to see. And on a Sunday, also Saturday, of course, is when Ben Salee plays. He plays at noon. Zach Brown Band, ZZ Top, are on the bill for Sunday. So I don't know which day will be the biggest, but I would expect it looks like it's going to be fairly hot, fairly nice, no rain.
So I'm sure all the organizers are happy with that. That's really great stuff. So if you get a chance, really prices aren't that out of line. I know you could get in for like $70 at the one last week. I'm not sure what the cost is to get in, but you know, it's something to see. You might want to go over there this weekend. It's a big event. I just want to mention real quick some big news out here at RE/MAX Properties East, where we have our studio. It was just announced this week that Harold Tague, he's a great guy who helped put together the deal that put this studio in this building, is stepping down, and he is going to the new guy is Joe Hayden. And that is all a very positive move around here at RE/MAX Properties East. I'm proud to be associated with it. It's a great group. The Scholar team is here as part of RE/MAX Properties East, and that's the company I work with. I've been learning a lot about financing this week. Went through a session. You remember Randy Rocky was on this show with Swan Financial, and he knows a lot about what he's talking about. I tell you, if you are out there and considering and don't know enough about financing and whether or not you can qualify for a loan, you're out there renting an apartment, you just might be able to buy a house. Call me at 502-439-6391. I'd be glad to help you get in a new home, or at least find out if you can. All right, so let's talk about some other news around town. A big thing happened this week regarding Rick Pitino. And shocking, you know, Pitino was suing the university for some back pay and stuff totaling $37 million. That's right. He was in town last week, had a big conference talking about a settlement, and they came up with a settlement. A settlement in which Pitino gets $0, but he gets to change his official reason for termination to a resignation, that he wasn't fired. And that's a $37 million note on a resume, if you ask me. But Pitino wants to coach again. And apparently this was one of the things that was keeping him from being able to get a job. I would suspect that you will hear in the very near future that Rick Pitino has taken a job as a head coach at a college basketball program. That's my prediction. I think that'll happen. But that's the end of the story. It's a big relief for U of L. They don't have to pay all that money, and they don't have that cloud hanging over their head in terms of the athletic department at U of L. They just had to worry about winning some football games, right? They got Florida State on the road this week, and you know, it's unlikely they're going to win down there in Tallahassee, but you never know. Florida State's not as good as they have been in the past, but of course, neither are we. But the Cards did take care of my Hilltoppers last weekend down in Nashville. So that's what's going on there. Hey, did you hear Mayor Pete Buttigieg was in town? We're all struggling with how to pronounce his name. I think we've settled on Buttigieg as his name. I was talking with Peggy Heiser yesterday. We were going over some of my health numbers. And Mayor Pete, she's really on the Mayor Pete team. And, you know, she was leaving after she saw me to go see his performance. He was giving a speech down there at Play down in Butchertown, and it apparently was a packed house. It cost you at least $25 to go. Sometimes, I mean, some of the tickets I think were $500, $1,000 for access to Play to see Mayor Pete in person, who could be our next president. They, you know, I was asked, you know, what do you think the chances are that he's actually going to become president? I think very slim, be honest with you. Very slim. There's still some 10 or 15 candidates on the Democratic side. The ones that get the most attention, of course, Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders are most likely. I think Kamala Harris is still ahead of Mayor Pete. But, you know, I like Mayor Pete. He's a pretty cool dude. He makes a lot of sense in some of the things he said. So anyway, that was a sort of a big media event for the city. On Tuesday, that happened. You know, my friends at Business First always put out their 40 under 40 list. I'm still bitter. I was working there when I was 40, and you know, kept putting my name in the hopper to be honored. They said, you know, number one, you haven't done anything, and number two, you work here, and we're not going to put you on the list. So I never made a 40 under 40 list, but some people who have been on the show have. I was happy to see Chef Bobby Benjamin, who is in the news recently. He just opened his bakery down there on Main Street. Bobby, of course, is the architect of my favorite restaurant in town, the Butchertown Grocery, and he is now has a bakery up there on Main Street. Right in Butchertown, Nulu, that part of the city where, you know, it's across from, it's probably close to Biscuit Belly and all that down there, and a revitalization for sure down there on the other side of where the new soccer stadium is going to be. So it's all very exciting stuff, and congratulations to Bobby for making the 40 under 40 list. Another member of that list from the media, I was glad to see, my good friend Stephen George, who has risen to president of Louisville Public Media. He was on this show. He's been on this show a couple times, and really enjoyed talking to him. He used to have his seats, his football tickets were up there in the flight deck with us. But I don't know. I didn't see him the first game. We'll see what happens the next time, the next home game. See if Steven shows up in his seats with all the low lifes in the flight deck, or if he. You know, has maneuvered his way into the PNC club or something. Hope somebody tells him about that. So we'll see. But anyway, that was just a couple of things going on in town this week. Of course, the big news, the Bourbon and Beyond Festival is happening. It's happening on Friday. It looks like it's going to be good weather. And, you know, this festival is not just about great music. There is a chef component, and there's a lot of great chef events, of great food events associated with Bourbon and Beyond, and there's also a lot of bourbon. It's in the title, Bourbon and Beyond, the Bourbon and Beyond Festival, and I thought I'd reach out to somebody who knows something about bourbon to talk about it, and that was the Bourbon Babe, Carla Carlton, who was gracious enough to come by here at the RE/MAX Properties East Studios, and we chatted a bit about things that are going on at the festival and in the bourbon world. You know, it's really amazing to just make up your mind to say, I'm going to become the bourbon babe, and I'm going to write a book, and I'm going to do all these things associated with bourbon. And so we talk about like women and bourbon and how that has evolved over the years around here. You know, everybody's involved in bourbon, but it's really something. I think you'll enjoy the story from Carla about how she became the Bourbon Babe and what she does and all the things she's involved in. I think her website is thebourbonbabe.com, and it's a great sort of moniker. You know, it's a great nickname. I really like it, and that's what it's about. So I was glad to that she was available and came over. If you want to see her talk, she'll be moderating this thing on Friday night at 5 over at the Bourbon and Beyond Festival. So stop by there and see. Have a bourbon or two, right? So let's get on to that interview, and I'll be back after a while to close up the show.
I admit, I used to think people addicted to painkillers just needed to toughen up, until it happened to my daughter. She really needed help. Thanks to Passport, we got it for her. Our doctor and her Passport case manager made sure she got the services and treatment she needed. Together, we got through it.
Find out how you can get Passport at passporthealthplan.com/together. Passport Health Plan. We're in this together.
Well, it is. The week is here for Bourbon and Beyond. I have in the studio with me here at the RE/MAX Properties East Studio, Carla Carlton. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you. Glad to be here.
But nobody knows you as that, right? You're the Bourbon Babe.
That's right. I am the Bourbon Babe.
So I always love nicknames. Did somebody bestow that on you, or is this a whole marketing concept that you came up with?
I guess I'm a self-proclaimed Bourbon Babe, just kind of born to the title, I suppose. It was a marketing concept. I wanted to write a blog about bourbon, and I wanted to emphasize the fact that I was a woman writing about bourbon. Blog about, oh gosh, it's been 10 years ago or more. There weren't that many women writing about bourbon. And I wanted to, in a kind of a lighthearted way, but emphasize that. and also wanted to make it a very journalistic blog. There are a lot of bourbon blogs, especially, they're eating more all the time. A lot of them are kind of like, hey, you know, what are you drinking, etc. And as a
Yeah, there's bourbon podcasts too, and you know, I know they're like, you know.
Yeah.
It's, I guess it's fun to talk about. But.
It is fun. As a journalist, though, I was, you know, I'm a journalist by trade, by training, and I wanted to do a more journalistic look at it because, you know, right back at that time, I thought, wow, this thing, this whole industry looks like it's gonna grow, and boy, has it.
Oh.
It's just been amazing. So, you know, I had some connections already in the business, people I'd worked with before. I just kind of put the word out that I was doing this, and, you know, it's just taken off from there.
Now, what came first? Was it you called it the Bourbon Babe, or you started doing it and then said, I need a name for this, so...
No, it was the Bourbon Babe from the start.
Okay.
You know, I wanted, you know, at that point, I was really kind of just exploring blogging. Blogging was pretty new then, and a lot of people were blogging, like, today I had a sandwich, you know, and just really random stuff. And I thought, you know, if I'm going to do a blog, I want it to be about something. I want it to have a focus. And so I settled on bourbon and decided that was going to be the topic, and it needed a name. And so it's always been the Bourbon Babe.
Okay. Well, that's cool. You like alliteration. I'm all for that.
Yes, I do.
But you have this whole history taking it seriously as journalism with, you worked at the Courier for many years, mm-hmm. right? You know, it's like we all get past those real journalism jobs and do what we really want to do. Mm-hmm. So you got another job too. You work over at Bellarmine.
That's right. I work in the communications office at Bellarmine, help promote that fantastic university. And I've written a few Bellarmine bourbon related stories for the alumni magazine.
Wow.
I'm the editor of the magazine. Probably the one I'm most proud of is I discovered early on that Chris Morris, the master distiller at Woodford Reserve, is a graduate of Bellarmine.
Okay.
And he's an art graduate, art and business, and he does sculpture and wood sculpture. And
wow.
I discovered that because he was in our first ever alumni art show. And somebody said, well, you know, that's Chris Morris. I said, no, I did not know that, but I'm going to immediately put that on my story list. And so I went and hung out with Chris at Woodford, at Churchill Downs, when he was doing a talk there with some folks. And then I went to his, quote, studio, end quote, which is kind of a space behind his garage. And it turns out we're kind of neighbors. So anyway, that was really fascinating. And he tends to use wood that sort of looks like the colors of bourbon.
Brown.
Brown. But just, you know, and it's very abstract. And I think he's drawn to that because his job, you know, master distillers used to stay in the distillery and make bourbon, but now they're ambassadors. They travel almost, you know, 75 to 80% of the time they're on the road, and they're just surrounded by people all the time. And
fun job.
Yeah, it's fun, but it's tiring. And I think he just likes to have that alone time with, you know, being a sculptor. It's like he can just be alone with his thoughts for a little bit.
So. Okay. Okay. Well, of course, this weekend, it's Bourbon and Beyond. It's a big, big deal. And there's a lot of things people think about the music. Who's your favorite act coming this year?
I don't know. I guess I like the Foo Fighters a lot. But as a person who came of age in the 80s, I'm really looking forward to Hall & Oates and Squeeze.
The Squeeze?
Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking John Fogerty. I can't predict the future, but I think there's going to be a clip of my favorite John Fogerty song in this show. And, you know, so he's coming, and, you know, there's a bunch of great acts. But you can also learn something about bourbon if you go, right?
That's right. As you know, it's called Bourbon and Beyond, not Beyond and Bourbon. There's a lot you can learn. There'll be more than a dozen chefs. There'll be master distillers. There'll be... tall tales and legends and tastings going on all during the festival.
And what are you doing?
I'm leading a panel discussion called Bourbon Disruptors on Friday afternoon. It starts at 5:05, and I'll be talking with Harlan Wheatley, the master distiller at Buffalo Trace, Joe Beatrice, who's at Barrel Bourbon, Autumn Nethery from Jephthah Creed, Andrea Wilson, who's at Michter's.
Wow, big lineup.
And Marianne Eves, who recently was at Castle and Key. And all of these folks, in one way or another, have been disruptive in that they've done things that are a little bit out of the ordinary for the traditional bourbon world. So we'll be exploring that.
Yeah, I think at least three of those names of those five have been on this show. So anyway, I'm getting around.
Good.
To everybody. Good. I hope. I hope. So you lead this discussion. So, of course, you were going to do something like this last year.
Yes.
And, you know, Noah and his gang, the heavens emptied. I mean, it's hard to believe it's been a year ago that, I guess only a year ago, because it seems to me like it's so in the distant past, but mm-hmm. that site down there, all the rain.
Yeah, I mean, bourbon and water is not a bad thing, but that was ridiculous. I mean, and who could have predicted that we'd get that much rain, you know, this time of year?
That weekend.
I mean, we could use some rain right now, but not that much rain. but yeah, and my session was on the Sunday, and by then they'd canceled the whole thing. But yeah, I didn't even
I drove by that park the other day. It looks beautiful. I mean, it's ready.
Yeah,
ready to
I wasn't sure it would ever recover after that, frankly.
It's all right. It's ready to go. So so what else you do? So as the bourbon babe, you've put out a few books. I see you brought your barrel strength bourbon book with you. And so what are the responsibilities of the bourbon babe?
The responsibilities. I don't know that I really have responsibilities. I have, but well, I do have one fairly new responsibility is that I'm a managing editor of Bourbon Plus magazine,
okay,
which is going to be out in force at Bourbon and Beyond this weekend. This is a new magazine we just started publishing last year, and
Bourbon Plus. Now, who's behind that?
Bourbon Plus, Fred Minnick, who I'm sure everyone
Fred's
knows.
Thing.
Fred is the editor, and I'm the managing editor. And it's been a lot of fun. It's a great magazine. It's quarterly, and we're telling the stories of the people and the science behind the barrel.
Wow.
And we're doing long-form journalism, which a lot of folks aren't doing as much anymore. Plus, we have just a host of regular columns. You know, we have a mixologist from Cincinnati who's amazing, Molly Wellman. We have a vintage column where we talk about some really, really old bottle that you can go drink from if you choose. We also have, I write a column called Amateur Hour, which is focused on folks who are new to bourbon, you know, answering questions they might have. So it's really got something for everybody who's interested in bourbon, from the novice to the, you know, the real aficionado.
Wow. Okay. Well, I knew Fred had a magazine, and now I know that.
Now you know who really does the work for the magazine.
I know a little bit more about it. There you go. But you talk about amateurs. I think that's always an interesting topic, especially being a woman. You know, there's some sexism, I guess, in drinking, right? A lot of women, like in my little world, my girlfriend drinks wine, I drink bourbon, so it's like that. But bourbon, I guess, is catching on with more and more women. There's a bourbon group of women, and there's all kinds of things.
There's the bourbon women. I'm one of the charter members of that group. Now, I have always drunk bourbon. Bourbon's always been my drink of choice since back in college. Never liked any of the white goods. Never liked vodka. Not a big fan of gin. I think that it's never been marketed to women. And I think now some of the, you know, the distilleries are catching on that they've been pretty much ignoring half of the population. But yeah, there's still some sexism, not so much here anymore, but you know, my husband drinks wine more than I do, and I can't tell you how many times he's ordered wine and I've ordered bourbon, and the server comes and they sit the wine in front of me and the bourbon in front of him, and we go, nope, wait to swap.
Well, I know him. He's kind of a wimp.
He's not a wimp. But yeah, wine gives me migraines, unfortunately. So bourbon so far does not. But no, I had a funny story when I was, when I started out in this, you know, I was, there's an event called Whiskey Fest that goes on in several big cities. It's sponsored by another magazine. But, you know, it's a night of like 300 whiskeys, all types of whiskeys. And you go in and, you know, you pay a considerable amount for a ticket. And we paid even more to get in the VIP ticket. So you could get in an hour ahead of the riffraff. I know. But you could get in.
The regular folks.
That's right. And so I have my, you know, I have my credentials. I have my tasting glass. You know, I'm obviously interested in tasting, and I went up to, I had tasted pretty much all the bourbons that were going to be offered there, so I'm not a Scotch drinker, but I thought, well, I'll try some Irish whiskey, and a friend of mine had told me that Redbreast was a good one to try, so I went up to the Redbreast booth, and there was a younger man sitting there and an older man sitting on a stool, and I said, I'd like to try Redbreast, and he said, well, do you want to try the 12-year or the 15-year? I said, I don't know, what would you recommend? And the old man springs into action and he says, well, if you're just starting out, I'd recommend the 12-year and then the 15-year and then maybe the cask strength. And he just all but patted me on the head. So I stood there for a minute, and then I, you know, drew on the native accent of my people. And I said, well, if it makes a difference, I'm from Kentucky, and I like a high-proof bourbon. And they both stood there for a second, and he said, in that case, you may proceed directly to the cask strength, which I did. And it still was fairly weak because Irish whiskey just isn't as strong as bourbon. But I just, you know, I thought that was a funny story because, you know, because I was a woman, even though I had my tasting glass and my VIP credential, you know, clearly I could not really be there to taste whiskey. So, but I love that story.
Yeah, that's funny. It's interesting. I really admire people like you that have this palate. You can really tell these bourbons. I always tell people, I think I can kind of tell the expensive ones from the cheap ones, but that's about it, you mm-hmm. know. And but you really have to know what you're doing to really know the difference between the high end ones.
Yeah, and it can be tricky. I mean, I wouldn't say that in a blind tasting I could necessarily fare a whole lot better. I mean, I can tell, you know, this is a wheated bourbon, this is a rye, you know, mm-hmm. You can be surprised because, I mean, you don't have to be, it doesn't have to be super expensive to be a good bourbon. You know, that's one of the things I think, as more people have gotten into bourbon, I'll get these questions. You know, I want to buy something for my boss. I want to buy something for my father-in-law. You know, what can I get that's like $150? You know, and I think, well, you don't have to pay $150 to get a great right. bourbon. You don't have to pay three figures.
I want to impress him by how much I paid for this.
Yes. If you want to do that, fine. But I told some people at Christmas time, just buy this and then buy a subscription to Bourbon Plus, or buy this and buy my book, you know, if you want to spend that much. But, you know, it's, I mean, as an example, Henry McKenna, which is a 10-year-old bourbon from Heaven Hill, just won an international whiskey it's competition. Shown
last week on this show, mm-hmm. I had John Johnson from the Wine Rack mm-hmm. was a guest on the show. And you know what he did? The nice thing he did, hint, hint, he gave me a bottle of that prize-winning bourbon
yeah.
that I have on my shelf now.
And hint taken. But, you know, that's one that's, well, it'll probably get more expensive and no one will be able to find it now. But, you know, that's an example of a bourbon that is not super
yeah,
expensive.
Yeah, I've got one bottle. So
there you go. That's really, really good. So, yeah, it's, but yeah. I think when I first started drinking bourbon, I could taste, you know, oak, I could taste vanilla, I could taste caramel, and then I was out. So really, it's a matter of training your palate okay. and just, you know, if you look at, there are charts you can look at that sort of lay out all the possible flavors or some of the flavors sure. you might see. And then when you start, you know, sometimes I'll even go in the kitchen and get some cinnamon or some nutmeg or something and smell that and then taste, and that can help you identify some of those flavor notes.
Interesting hint. Never thought of that.
Some of the fruit notes are hard for me to find sometimes because I don't eat a lot of apricots or dried whatever, you know. And so when you
all right.
the more things you taste and smell, then the more things you're able to pick up on in okay. anything you drink. So that's
okay. Well, you can learn more this weekend at Bourbon and Beyond. I'll talk in the show about the site and everything that's going on there, mm-hmm. but you host your talk at 5:00 on Friday.
That's right.
And
rain or shine,
you can get some you can get some bourbon somewhere out there, I'm sure, on a regular basis. But the book is Barrel Strength Bourbon, and you can get that is that on Amazon? Where you can
it is
get
on
that?
Amazon. It is at Carmichael's. It is at all the fine bookstores. And you okay. can also, if you'd like an autographed copy, you can go to thebourbonbabe.com. And there's a place there where you can order it, and
all right.
I'll sign it for you.
Bourbon Babe, thanks for being on the Rusty Satellite Show. It's been a blast.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. Rick will be back in the Louisville.am studio with two more of the most interesting people in the Ville next week. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. To suggest a future guest or inquire about doing your own podcast, get in touch with Rick through Facebook or Twitter, or send an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. To see the full list of guests who have appeared on the show since 2013, go to rustysatelliteshow.com.